Making a List and Checking It Twice by Melligan, read by Cookie Mom 6067. You have a lovely home, Mr. Shepherd. Thank you so much for inviting me and my family here for Christmas, Jeannie said, handing Dave a plate of Christmas cookies. Caleb is having way too much fun playing in your state-of-the-art kitchen. Please call me Dave. Mr. Shepherd was my father. I'm just glad you and your brother accepted my invitation. You're actually doing me a favor, you know. He bit into a cookie, and with the first taste, his eyes widened. Wow, I don't suppose I could hire your husband as my personal baker, could I? Not a chance. If you ever tasted my cooking, you'd understand. I'll agree to call you Dave if you call me Jeannie. We're practically family after all, Jeannie waited, sensing there was more Dave wanted to say. She was proven right when he added, I'd hope that when John found out Rodney was coming, he'd agree to show up for a visit too. And he did. Softly, he added, I can't remember the last time we spent a family Christmas together. Jeannie reached out and laid her hand on Dave's arm. Then you've noticed it too. A blind man would notice the connection between those two. It's almost as if here's some strange magnetic draw that keeps pulling them together. I know, weird, isn't it? She grinned and snatched a cookie off the plate, glad she'd been able to grab these few cookies from the kitchen while they were still warm. It had only taken one look from Jeannie for Caleb to know that she wanted to have a private chat with Dave. He quietly agreed to keep Madison and Dave's two kids, Sarah and Scott, busy in the kitchen. Jeannie felt a little bad about leaving Caleb alone to deal with the kids. It helped that the twins were only a year older than Madison. The three of them had quickly bonded over writing letters to Santa. John and Mare were meant to be together. Now that she'd broached the subject, it was a relief to know that Dave was aware of their connection, too. It would save a lot of explaining. So what can we do about it? She asked. Do? Dave asked, caught reaching for another cookie. My brother is brilliant, but when it comes to relationships, he's an idiot. I know he's in love with John, but he has this stupid idea that John couldn't possibly feel that way about him. She paused. John's not still in denial, is he? Dave snorted. I wouldn't call it denial. He just can't open up his giant box of repression without a pry bar the size of Kansas. So good luck with that. Ouch, Jeannie grinned. Well, then we'll just have to work on both of them. Before Dave could respond, Caleb came in. He had another plate of cookies in his hands and a smear of green frosting across one cheek. Before you ask, yes, the decorating part of baking cookies was a great success. On the other hand, I'm not sure your kitchen will ever be the same again. Dave took the plate of cookies and set them down on the table. They're certainly colorful. Whose idea was the purple glitter? I've been assured it's edible glitter, as far as where it came from. Don't look at me, Caleb shrugged. I was going with red and green frosting. I had it all made when your brother and Rodney decided to help. John helped? Dave asked, sounding surprised. In between arguments about historical tradition and Rodney's stand on hidebound thinking, I don't even remember how it snowballed into the Aroostook War of 1838. Oh, honey, I'm sorry. Overexposure to my brother can do that. I should have warned you. Looking between the two men, she suggested, maybe we should all take a break. Tea, anyone? You know, Dave said, I've got a better idea. Rodney glanced over his shoulder to see John approaching. He quickly tucked the small black book back into his pocket. Coming to Dave Shepherd's house for Christmas had seemed harmless enough when Jeannie mentioned it. He hadn't considered how hard it would actually be. Yes, this was his chance to satisfy his burning curiosity about John's upbringing. Probably his only chance, since John wasn't ever going to talk about it. Things were fine, and Rodney intended to keep telling himself that. Fine. As long as he could shrug off how weirdly intimate it felt watching John get reacquainted with his past. Seeing John's tentative half-smile as his fingers grazed across some family artifact. The way John's smile lit up his face when his nieces dragged him into a snowball fight. Or the way John's jaw clenched when an old, nearly forgotten hurt surfaced. Those moments were stamped on Rodney's heart now. He just wasn't sure what to do with them. "Hey, Rodney, what's that you're hiding?" John asked, walking up and slinging one arm over Rodney's shoulder. "Nothing that concerns you, Shepard." The last thing he needed was to give John ammunition to tease him with. Rodney imagined John's own metaphorical little black book was so full of names and phone numbers it probably had chapters. Rodney had carried his book since college and continued to carry it during his time at the SGC. For some inane reason, he'd even brought it to Atlantis. Aside from almost adding Katie's name, it had been a fruitless waste of space. "Oh, it concerns me if I say it concerns me," John Mott growled. Then grinning, he added, "Grab your coat. You have got to see what my brother has been up to." Curiosity got the better of him, and Rodney donned his coat and hat. As they walked along the snowy path to the stable yard, he knew something was up because the laughter lines around John's eyes were crinkled in anticipation. They were almost there when Rodney halted in his tracks. "Is that?"
"Yep."
"Real, actual reindeer. How? How the hell did your brother get reindeer here?"
"You'd have to ask Dave that."
John bumped shoulders. "That isn't the best part. There's a sleigh. Dave also hired a guy to handle the ride, but I bet I can bribe him to let me drive."
"Because you know so much about steering a reindeer sleigh."
With a shake of his head, Rodney added, "You know they can't really fly, right?"
"Okay, so maybe this isn't such a great idea, but we should still get the kids, and I'll go for a ride. What do you say? Are you up for a sleigh ride with me?"
Jeannie and Caleb followed Dave into his study, where he poured them all a glass of mulled wine. The room's colorful Persian rug, book-lined shelves, and crackling gas fireplace made it inviting and cozy.
"Not what you expected?"
"You can thank my wife for that," Dave said. "Margaret took one look at the sterile office space in this room used to look like and insisted on a makeover. Basically, you can thank her for turning this house into a home."
Dave checked his watch. "She should be getting back from her shopping soon."
Grinning, he added, "I can't wait until she tries your cookies, Caleb."
"Speaking of, I left the kids in the kitchen with the frosting. I think I'd better go check on them. Besides, you two have some talking to do."
Before leaving, Caleb gave Jeannie a quick peck on the cheek.
"Good luck. I hope you two can come up with something. Normally, I'd say let John and Rodney figure it out on their own, but it's beginning to get painful."
As he left, Jeannie turned to Dave. "I'm not really sure what we can do. Mare is one of the most stubborn, intractable people I know."
"Then he's a good match for my brother. In fact, he might be exactly what he needs. I shouldn't call him hopeless, but as far as relationships go, John never sees it coming.
Did you know his ex-wife is the one who proposed?
I always wondered if he was surprised into saying yes."
Jeannie almost spit out her drink. She had to get her coughing under control before she could say, "Surprised into saying yes? I wonder if that would work on my brother." Dave laughed.
"I swear John can't say two sentences without bringing up Rodney, whether it's something Rodney did that impressed John or something Rodney did that pissed him off. It's always Rodney's name that comes up. I don't think John even notices he's doing it."
"The same goes for Mare. It's always John this or John that. I don't think he notices either."
"You call your brother Mare, not Rodney," Dave said.
"His first name is Meredith. Meredith Rodney McKay. He hates it and goes by his middle name instead, but he's my brother and I've always called him Mare, if only to remind him we're family and always will be. I don't think anyone but me ever calls him that."
Dave took a slow sip of his drink. He seemed to be considering his next words. After a moment, he admitted, "John does. I heard him say it in his sleep once when he'd fallen asleep on the couch. I always wondered what it meant."
Before Jeannie could ask for details, the kids came running in.
"Uncle John wants to take us on a real reindeer ride," Madison yelled. "Can we go, Mom? Dad said it was okay with him as long as you said yes."
Dave put his hand over his face. "I'm afraid that's my fault. I'd planned it as a surprise for tomorrow, but it seems John jumped the gun."
Helpless in the face of three eager smiles, she didn't have the heart to say no.
just as well because John and Rodney came barreling in before she could say anything.
Don't be a stick-in-the-mud genie. How often does anyone get to ride in a sleigh pulled by real reindeer?
Rodney sounded as giddy as the kids. John, nearly bouncing on his toes, backed up her brother.
Of course he did.
We'll keep a close eye on the kids, Jeannie, he said. You got nothing to worry about.
With a mock huff and a grin, she said, Fine, go, but I want to turn later. From the moment the sleigh ride began, the kids started screaming, a painfully out of key, dashing through the snow. Rodney managed to ignore it, mostly. The song had to end sometime, right? He pulled his hat down over his ears.
Why did I agree to this?
Have a little Christmas spirit, Rodney. The kids are having a great time. John leaned against him, warm and smelling of ginger cookies.
Rodney, ignoring how good John smelled, grumbled, It's cold. It isn't even Canada, yet it's still freezing, and my nose is cold.
Here, John said, I'll share my blanket with you, Grumpy Pants. Happy now?
Oddly enough, he was.
Why John's blanket kept him warmer than his own made no sense, unless it was because John had to practically sit in his lap to share. Naturally, the shared body heat helped. Obviously, that was all there was to it. The sleigh ride was over all too soon. The kids were already running toward the house. With a soft sigh, John said, Guess we should go in. Apparently just as reluctant to have the ride over. He leaned over, and for one wild moment, Rodney thought. Instead, John slipped his hand into Rodney's pocket and pulled out his little black book. You want it back? Race you to the house. And John was off like a shot.
Bastard!
He didn't have a chance of catching up to John and knew it. Still, if he hurried, he might get the book back before John looked inside.
Too much mistletoe? Jeannie asked.
With a helpless shake of his head, Dave opened his mouth to say something, then seemed to change his mind. Instead, he carefully said, Buying out the store might have been overkill, but we are talking about two of the most stubborn, clueless men on the planet. Margaret and I are enjoying it, at least, he added with a sheepish grin. Feeling her cheeks heat, she had to agree. Caleb hasn't complained either.
I have to ask. Since the guys came back from the sleigh ride, they've been playing at keep away. Do you know what that's about?
Dave looked at his watch. So far, it's been going on for 3 hours. I know my brother can be a persistent, stubborn little shit. Sorry.
All I know is that something is bothering Mare, and I think John is trying to get to the bottom of it. But if I know your brother like I think I do, John's not giving up until he figures it out.
It was Christmas Eve, and all three kids were charged up on too much sugar and excitement. Jeannie had almost given up on getting Madison or the twins to settle down when John came to the rescue. He stood in front of the tree with his hands on his hips and stroked his chin.
You know what this tree needs? Snowflakes. It's a big job. We'll need lots of paper. Now, who can we get that knows how to make paper snowflakes?
There was a lot of jumping up and down and hand-waving for attention until Madison made her voice heard over everyone else's.
My Uncle Rodney makes the bestest snowflakes.
I just bet he does. I bet he'd like some help, too, John said, grinning up at Rodney.
Oh, for pity's sake, Rodney grumbled. Well, where's the paper?
With a huff, he added, I trust your parents have safety scissors for you to use. And don't run.
Don't run with scissors. Good advice, Rodney, John dryly said with a smirk. Jeannie watched the interplay between the two men and wondered all over again how they could both be such hopeless idiots. She glanced over at Dave, who simply shrugged his shoulders as if to say, What can you do? The activity did at least settle the kids down. Scott was looking at John with something akin to hero worship as he watched John turn his snowflake into a paper airplane. Madison leaned against her uncle's knee and carefully selected the exact sheet of paper he should make a snowflake out of.
So that your snowflake equations come out right, she solemnly proclaimed.
Caleb leaned over and whispered in Jeannie's ear, Do you think they even notice? She knew what he meant. Aside from bickering like an old married couple, John and Rodney consistently found reasons to be in each other's space. John would reach for things that involved brushing against her brother. Mare was just as bad, poking at John's arm, elbowing his side, and all but tangling their hands together when they reached for the same piece of paper. It was a relief when Dave and Caleb called it bedtime and sent the kiddos off to brush their teeth and get ready for bed. Rodney and John left the final Christmas Eve chores to the parents, knowing they had more gifts to put under the tree. Per usual, John kept pace as they headed upstairs, but he was pleasantly surprised when John followed him to his room. The surprise became less pleasant when John held up Rodney's little black book and said, "We need to talk." "Crap." John wore his serious face, which meant Rodney wasn't getting out of this. With a soft, resigned sigh, he said, "Come inside." Rodney took the bed and let John sit on the chair. "If we would just damn sit. Whatever it is, just say it before I get whiplash from watching you pace." John ran his hand through his hair. "Okay, see, it's like this. I knew something was bugging you and figured it had something to do with that book." "Which you couldn't wait to look inside." Rodney folded his arms across his chest. "We'll have your laugh and get it over with." "There wasn't a single damn name or phone number in it. Not even Carter's, so no, I'm not laughing. I want you to come clean with what's up with you." "I think we both know I never had a chance with Sam," Rodney quietly admitted. "I thought about putting Katie's name in it, but then it would just be another reminder of my failure at relationships. That explains most of it, really." John made a go-on gesture. "Why now? Because despite being busy saving the day and repeatedly escaping certain horrible death, I finally took the time to evaluate my life, and I realized I want more than a list of meaningless hookups." "Potential hookups that frankly don't exist because you never got around to writing any names down." John arched one brow. "Maybe you need to find a name with the potential for a real lasting relationship." "Please, have you met me?" "I have. Just remember to keep an open mind and trust me. It's going to work out." Then he left, leaving Rodney to wonder what the hell John meant by that. Christmas morning excitement passed without any major disappointments. Everyone seemed pleased with their gifts, and the kids were currently making a train out of the discarded cardboard boxes. Rodney nibbled on the last cinnamon roll as he waded through the mounds of crumpled wrapping paper. John had volunteered the both of them for cleanup duty. Of course he had. John came up and bumped his shoulder. "Thanks for the hockey mask." "You're welcome. Next time you feel the need to regale the Athosian kids with Nightmare on Elm Street, you can use it as a visual. It might not help, but it can't make your storytelling any worse." "Gee, thanks. Oh, I got you something, too."
"You did?"
Rodney had searched and searched under the tree for a gift from John. When he didn't find one, he decided that he would not be disappointed. Oh, who was he kidding? It was worse than the time his dad had gotten drunk and passed out under the tree. Christmas morning, he was still there sleeping it off, and there hadn't been any presents at all. John held out Rodney's little black book. Bemused, Rodney took the book and just stared at it. John had taken the time to wrap a bright red ribbon around it. The only thing he could think of to say was, "Why?" "You need to open it if you want your present, Rodney. I said to trust me, remember?" The hopeful look in John's eyes made Rodney's heart stutter. Fingers gone, suddenly clumsy. Tearing the ribbon off seemed to take forever. But now that the ribbon was off, he hesitated. John's indulgent, dopey grin gave him courage. Rodney drew a steadying breath and opened the little book, his fingers barely trembling at all. There on the first page, in clear, bold script, was John's name and phone number. "Say something, Rodney. Don't leave me hanging here, buddy." Jeannie looked up from her packing to see Dave lurking in her doorway. His eyes were alight with suppressed humor. "What is it?" she asked. "John finally made his move." Jeannie held her breath, finally daring to ask, "Did my brother?" Dave nodded. "Oh, yeah, he certainly did. and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think we're going to need more mistletoe.
The end.